So the meeting is called to order officially at 8:30. Good morning. This meeting will be held in accordance with House Rule 10.01. A roll call, Mr. Smith, please.
Chair Sundin.
Is here.
Vice Chair Vang.
Present.
Representative Anderson. Representative Burkle.
Present.
Representative Eklund.
Present.
Representative Hansen R.
Hansen R. here.
Representative Hansen J.
Hansen J. present.
Representative Cleavorn.
Present.
Representative Lippert.
Present.
Representative Lewick.
Present.
Representative Miller.
Present.
Representative Nelson.
Present.
Representative Thompson. We have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. The minutes of the last meeting on the 22nd, meeting of the Ag Committee were provided. Can I get a motion to approve those minutes, Representative Anderson?
Mr. Chair, yes. Sorry, a little bit late on the check-in, but I'm here and we'll move to approve the minutes.
Thank you. The motion is made to approve the minutes. Are there any corrections or additions? Seeing none, hearing none, all those in favor signify approval of the minutes by saying aye.
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 Those opposed say nay. Okay, that motion prevails. The minutes are adopted. Okay, we walked through the D2 amendment in the spreadsheet on Wednesday. Vice Chair, would you take the chair so we can finish the bill?
Sounds good, Mr. Chair. Last meeting, House File 1524 was laid over. I'll bring House File 1524 back before the committee and move that it be recommended to be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Chair sending motion on the DE2 amendment.
I would move the DE2 amendment.
I see that there are a few amendments to the DE2. Chair sending, you have an author's amendment, the A9.
I do. Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the A9 amendment to the DE2 amendment. This amendment makes two changes. Firstly, it reinserts salmonella and other turkey diseases. In addition, uses AGRIT avian flu research language from 2020. And secondly, it allows the MDA to retroactively make payments in cases where they paid partial payments on claims under the bioincentives program. And this was in the original House File 806, but was inadvertently left out. So that's it.
Any discussion on the A9 amendment? Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the A9 signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, say no. The motion prevails and the amendment to the amendment is adopted. Next is the A1 amendment, which is my amendment. I move the A1 before the committee. This amendment is basically, let me just pull up my notes here, regarding to my bill on emerging farmers. I took Representative Anderson's advice on having a definition for emerging farmers, so I added that into this amendment. So thank you, Representative Anderson, for the suggestion. And is there any, Chair Sundin, do you have a comment, or I can open this up for discussion?
I would thank both representatives for their cooperation in putting together this amendment.
Okay, any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails and the amendment to the amendment is adopted. Next amendment is the A2. Who is offering the A2 amendment?
Representative Anderson.
Representative Anderson, please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A2 was, again, the language that we need to add to the bill to make it more complete and more timely. And the money stays the same for the dairy development and the profitability enhancement programs. But a couple of changes made. One of them, the old reference to a 1997 budget has been taken out now in this new language in the amendment. It also, in the older language, it required 5-year business plans. And those folks that work with this program would like greater flexibility and to focus on more of a shorter term business plan because things can change so rapidly in today's agriculture. And it also eliminates old language prohibiting a farmer from receiving support for more than 3 consecutive years in this program. An example of what we would correct with this would be if there's a farm transition plan, the father's been in the program and he's transitioning to his son, then his son then would be eligible to continue in the program with no gap in support for the program. Also, old language eliminating assistance for a new dairy startup, for example, again, if a family would like to split into more than one operation, maybe add a dairy raising heifer operation, for example, this would allow them both operations to be part of the program. So, Madam Chair, that's the amendment, and I would appreciate the committee's support.
Any further any discussion? Chair Sundin, would you like to respond?
I would like to thank Representative Anderson for his for this particular amendment and his expertise throughout all the decision making in the committee today. So I would recommend support of this amendment.
Any further discussion to the A2 amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. The motion prevails and the A2 amendment to the amendment is adopted. Next amendment is the A3. I believe this is Representative Lewick. Would you move the bill and explain?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move the A3 amendment. And what this would do would simply leave the Board of Animal Health as it's currently organized and would delete the section that would make some significant changes to the way that we select the people that serve on that board. Two particular areas that I want to point out that I think really need to continue to work on. One is I just can't see why the legislature would want to give up the ability of the Senate to review and consent on these absolutely critical appointments. Unfortunately, the bill as it reads now would eliminate the legislature's ability to influence that. Obviously, we don't participate in that directly in the House, but the Senate plays a crucial role in making sure that those appointments to that board are well capable people that will fit. The other thing that I see that is really problematic in the proposed changes is to rather than the board hire a executive director, this would make that strictly a governor's appointment, which like it or not, and I'm not, it doesn't matter whether it's a DFL or a Republican governor, that interjects a level of potential politics into an area where there's no place for politics. So, Mr. Chair, those are two areas that I really think are inappropriate, and I'm willing to work, further down the road. The adjustment on the number of people to the board, that probably certainly merits a little more discussion, but those two items basically surrenders what little influence that the legislature has on the makeup of that board and also takes an important element out of the responsibility of the board as to hire and manage their own executive director. So with that, I think we'd be better served at this point to leave the status quo alone, at least for another year. We're right in the middle of rulemaking, critical rulemaking that's going to shape how we move forward on dealing with chronic wasting disease on the Cervidae farms in particular. So, you know, this, I don't think it's appropriate to start to radically change the makeup of that board at this point. And I think we've got, we can take a little more time. And again, there's two elements that are really concerning to me are eliminating the legislature's ability to have any oversight on the appointments and strictly handing that over to the executive branch. And the same with the who serves as the executive director. And with that, I would hope we can support this. I'm ready to work, continue to work on. We want to make sure the Board of Animal Health is best equipped to meet the challenges that we face for food safety and human safety. But I think at this point, we should leave the status quo alone till we get through a few more things. Then we can look at it again in the future. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Chair Sandin, would you like to respond to the amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't fear any political favoritism from this governor or past governors when it comes to selecting professionals to serve on that board and in leadership roles for agriculture in general. I know it can be done. I visited with a congresswoman's agricultural liaison here in Minnesota just yesterday, and there's a DFL congresswoman, and the man that identified himself as the Republican caucus within her staff. Good decisions aren't always poised on political considerations. So on that end of it, I think this is a good move. Secondly, the language would remove the capability for a Native American designee to serve on the board. And I think that's a critical piece going forward, addressing animal health, most particularly because the Native tribes in Minnesota are seriously considering expanding their elk herd throughout the state. And they came to me with this idea of being involved and cooperating with good stewardship of the elk expansion. So I would recommend a no vote on this amendment.
Madam Chair.
Representative Lewitt.
If I could, I'd like a roll call vote on this. And again, and I appreciate the comments of the chair on bringing Native American representation on that board. I think it's kind of ironic that another committee is moving down the tracks at full speed that will eliminate the Board of Animal Health's management of elk farms. So again, I think at this point, changing the makeup of the Board of Animal Health, while we got another committee that doesn't have direct oversight over agriculture, busy trying to make major, major changes, shifting responsibilities to other agencies, it's just premature. But again, I'm ready to work with the chair on this. And I just want to make it clear, I did not mention any objection to the specifics about whether a Native American tribal member is appointed. I think we can continue to work on the size of that board and the makeup of that board. I'm all ears all open and ready to work in that area. my concern is just simply giving up, continuing to add unilateral decision-making over an executive branch and detracting from the ability of the legislature, either House or Senate, to have any influence. So again, ready to continue to work on this, Mr. Chair, and I think we can eventually come up with something. Obviously, we've got to reconcile this with the Senate also before we finally get to the point where we're at home plate on getting this doggone bill forward, because normally the ag bill is the first one that we're able to get consensus with and get on to the governor. So that's that needs to be the goal of all of us here. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I concur with Representative Lewick on this. This is a big step. And actually, there's some parts of this section of the bill that I think are promising. I like adding a small animal veterinarian, and it's something that I think would be warranted on the board. I would agree that if we have any hope of getting this passed, I don't think the Senate's going to go along with giving up their authority on advising and consent. So that's probably a non-starter in the Senate, that part of the bill. And I would also agree with Representative Lewick that we don't want to make this political in any sense. The board has been functioning very well up to this point with the board selecting its own state veterinarian. And they do a great job, and I just as soon keep it that way. But I do have a question, Madam Chair, if research staff could answer this question. And it pertains to adding a member of a tribe to the Board of Animal Health. And again, I think that warrants a discussion. But my question is, if we have a member of a federally recognized tribe on Board of Animal Health helping to make regulations governing the entire state of Minnesota, does the board or would the board have any jurisdiction on the federally tribal land, or would that not be part of any regulations put forth by the Board of Animal Health if there was a tribal member on the board? Could staff help with that question?
Colby Sullivan would you be the correct person to help answer this question?
Yeah, Madam Chair and Representative Anderson, it's not an issue that I've looked into before, but you know, my initial reaction is that adding a member of a tribal government to the Board of Animal Health would not change the current jurisdictional issues between tribal governments and the state of Minnesota. I don't think it would have an effect on jurisdiction of the Board of Animal Health.
Okay.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Sullivan and Madam Chair, for that question. But again, I would support the amendment brought forth by Representative Lewis.
Representative Hansen. All right, Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And members, the Board of Animal Health needs reform. It is a case study in regulatory capture. The GOP has been talking about they want more time and want to work on this. We have been proposing multiple changes for several years, and they're always rejected. I applaud Chair Sundin for including this needed reform in the bill and would strongly oppose the Lewick Amendment. It's time for a change. It's time to have the Board of Animal Health work for the people of Minnesota and not the interests that it regulates.
Seeing no further discussion, a roll call being requested. So, Mr. Smith, would you take the roll?
Chair Sundin.
No.
Sundin, no. Vice Chair Vang?
No.
Vice Chair Vang, no. Representative Anderson?
Anderson, aye.
Anderson, aye. Representative Burkle?
Burkle, aye.
Burkle, aye. Representative Eklund?
No.
Eklund, nay. Representative Hansen, R.
Hansen, R, no.
Hansen, R, nay. Representative Hansen, J.
Hansen, J, no.
Hansen, J, nay. Representative Cleavorn?
No.
Representative Cleavorn, no. Representative Lippert?
Lippert, no.
Lippert, nay. Representative Lewick?
Lewick, yes.
Lewick, aye. Representative Miller.
Miller, aye.
Miller, aye. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Thompson. Representative Thompson. That's seven nays and five ayes.
With seven nays and five ayes, the motion does not prevail and the A3 amendment is not adopted. Next amendment is the A4. I believe this is Representative Eklund. Please make a motion and feel free to proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I move the A4 amendment. Madam Chair, the A4 amendment is, first I wanna thank Representative Sundin for putting the piece in the bill about our garage cutters, garage butchers. They're a valuable resource to us during the big game season throughout the state. And I'm glad that that's in there to exempt them from some of the regulations because they are just a part-time business. What this amendment does is if these processors work in a chronic waste and disease management zone, they need to ensure that the animal is tested for chronic wasting disease and also that the carcass is disposed of in the dumpsters that the state will be providing for the adopted dumpster program. I think this is especially critical now that we have a new CWD positive case in Beltrami County. It's growing, it's expanding, and this will help make sure that the folks in this new area will know that these services are available. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any discussion to the amendment? Chair Sundin, would you like to respond?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A4 amendment is very welcome. This is a way to deal with things. We can't put masks on deer and elk, so I think this is the next best thing for controlling CWD, and it's just a make sense of amendment. Thank you.
Any further discussion to the A4 amendment? Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the A4 amendment say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails and the amendment to the amendment is adopted. Next amendment is the A5. I believe this is Representative Nelson. Do you have a motion? And please proceed with explaining the bill.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, and I would move the A5 amendment. And this is dealing with the extension of the removing the mediation from a 90-day to 120-day window. And, I think definitely a mediation is an important tool to be able to use. Right now, if all parties are in agreement, they can be past 90 days. Right now, 90 days is a minimum window. And when they're in agreement, 90 days is just that. It's a minimum. They can go longer than this and work out an agreement. And, reforms are definitely, I think, needed in the mediation process. And I would really like to see that, for the most part, support can be there before we get to, this point. It's basically putting off foreclosure right at the very end. And I think it would be do well for both the farms and the lenders, if support could come in before this and help come in alongside and work out a plan before this point. And so with that, I would encourage your support of this.
Any discussion to the A5 amendment? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, I rise in support of the Nelson Amendment. And, the history of this goes back a ways. And back in 2016, 2017, there was a task force that was convened. And back then, we really looked long and hard at raising some of the thresholds to qualify for mediation. And that task force came back with recommendations. And in the next session, we made some changes. And the changes being proposed in this bill are, I think, the result of trying to get an extension. We've extended this deadline twice, and early in the session, we heard a bill to extend it for a third time. And then the focus changed, and we're just now extending the entire program to 120 days. And again, would like to see more input from folks involved. Minnesota Bankers Association, for example, they represent 95% of the banks in Minnesota, from large to small. And they were had a written testimony and talked about having the stakeholder group to get together and talk about these things and arrive at a compromise agreement that, that all can work with and such. And as Representative Nelson mentioned, a lot of these things go longer than 90 days anyway. Bankers do not want to foreclose on farmers if that's a last resort. And I think the program has been working well, and would also agree that the program should stay the way it is. And if there is a need or a want to convene a group to work on this. And again, we don't have to extend the program this session either. It doesn't expire until June of next year. So there's plenty of time to extend the program, but would support the amendment by Representative Nelson.
Representative Lippert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'll just speak briefly against the amendment. I think the changes in the bill are warranted. Extra 30 days is important and helpful. The realities of lending have changed in the last few decades. Increasingly, farmers are dealing with multiple lenders and very large lending institutions. It's not as personal as it used to be in many instances. And farmers again and again have said that the deck is stacked against them, and they need more time as they're dealing with these very complicated, potentially farm-ending situations. So I think 30 more days is very reasonable, and would just ask for a no vote on the amendment.
Chair Sundin, would you like to respond to the AFI amendment?
I certainly appreciate all the work that Representative Lippert has done on this, and I'm going to defer to his judgment on this. It's obvious that there will be work to be done on this in the future, and I hope all parties are willing to work on it cooperatively. I know some of the bankers that share the same concerns that Representative Anderson did, you know, about not wanting to foreclose and working with people rather than go to the extreme route. So, I'll be supporting this amendment. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, the AFI amendment is before us. All those in favor of the AFI amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
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 The motion does not prevail, and the AFI amendment to the amendment is not adopted. I see the next amendment is A6. I believe this is Representative Ferkel. Do you have a motion? And feel free to proceed with the explanation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the A6 amendment. This amendment deletes sections 8 through 11 on pages 20 through 24. Specifically targeting the permit fee that raises to 2.9%. At this time, I just don't feel that given the state of the amount of money the state has, $1.6 billion surplus, there's no need to be raising fees on farmers right now. Beyond that, deeper into the amendment, specifically on 23 and 24, disposal methods for treated seed. Let me get to that part, sorry. Scroll through. EPA already regulates these, and the role and oversight provided by the Minnesota Department of Ag. So these are already, really effective technologies that are regulated under federal law, and this is really duplicative. And to be honest, would violate the Interstate Commerce Clause, in my opinion. I just know specifically in my area of the state, a lot of farmers are able to purchase in North Dakota. So once again, it'd just be a rule that would end up making Minnesota an island unto itself. And given EPA regulations and their oversight provided by MDA, I think it's unnecessary.
Okay. Representative Hansen.
If Chair Sundin wanted to comment first, I would defer to him.
Chair Sundin, would you like to comment first?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll defer to Representative Hansen.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I would oppose the amendment. The pesticide lobby uses the same techniques as the tobacco lobby and the NRA before them. And that tactic is to never support any reform to pesticide law. And the changes in here that we're making are minimal and are in response to an actual problem: how to dispose of treated seed. And our country has had a disaster in Nebraska because of how it's been disposed of in making ethanol. And we had testimony in this committee that Minnesota treated seed was going to Nebraska. This is a very minimal step on trying to make reform. And that reform is what is needed not only to protect our environment, to protect our people, and to protect the applicators who are using this. The notification that we're asking to be putting on the seed is information that the people who purchase the seed to plant can use. We're taking the education route rather than the mandate route, so that the people are informed of the consequences of using the treated seed. It's kind of like the cigarette label, the label on a cigarette container. It says this may be hazardous to your health. I would urge a no vote on this amendment. It's time, way past time, to make progress on pesticide reform to help our environment and our people.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hansen, is there a problem here in Minnesota? We talked about the Nebraska situation, and yes, we agree that that should not have happened. I believe that plant has now been shut down. But I don't think there is a great deal of treated seed that is disposed of in an erroneous way in Minnesota. In my own example, if I have some bags of seed corn left that are unopened, they're returned, and they do a germination test, and if the germ stays okay, they'll maybe sell them again the next year. And if it's a bag that's part full, I tuck it away in my shed and keep the mice out of it if I can, and use it again the following year. So, again, is this a solution looking for a problem? In Minnesota, I think it is. The EPA regulates this, and the Department of Agriculture does as well. And I just wonder if you're telling us the entire story, because we're hearing that in your committee, the Environment Committee, you have money allocated for rulemaking under this act. So to, I assume, look into rulemaking to add additional regulations to the disposal of treated seed. So I'd like to have some clarification of what is also happening in your committee in regard to this this topic, Representative Hansen.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Anderson. So the language that was adopted in the Environment Finance Committee yesterday is the same language that was heard in the Ag Committee. And it was not included in the Ag Committee because it had a fiscal note of $133,000. I contacted Chair Sundin that I thought we may have some money to carry that in the Environment Finance Committee. And we did, and he agreed that we could carry it there. Instead of having the Ag Department do the rulemaking with the MPCA, because this is a disposal issue, the MPCA would do the rulemaking with consultation with Ag and the University of Minnesota researchers to try to determine how to handle this hole in regulation. I reject the idea that all regulation is bad. Regulation can be clarifying, and what is needed here is clarifying of who has responsibility. We've had testimony that the Department of Ag has that responsibility for it as a seed. Where does the Pollution Control Agency have, where does it pick up the responsibility as a waste? And I would defer to Chair Sundin just to confirm that we had those conversations.
Chair Sundin?
That's all true. Thank you very much. And because of the budgetary concerns, I thank Representative Hansen for tackling this issue as well. So I thank you for your work on that. I understand the concerns of everyone else, but I figured this was the best route to go on this particular issue. Thank you, Chair Hansen.
Representative Anderson, follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, I'm wondering how much of a problem it is here in Minnesota. And I would like to ask Representative Burkle again to comment on what he is seeing is being done in Minnesota in terms of how some of these seed is being disposed of, if in fact it has to be disposed of. Representative Burkle?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yep, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Anderson. I concur with your concept of a solution in search of a problem, because for the most part, my understanding is most treated seed is you know, reused that year by the farm, the next year by that farmer, or in some cases donated to bank food plots for Ducks Unlimited and Pheasants Forever. In some situations, high temp incinerators are used at waste management companies. But I think technology today with GPS and the way farmers farm, if you really understand the technology that's happening there, there's very little seed left over, if any, and typically is used up by that farmer.
Representative Anderson, final follow-up.
Thanks again, Madam Chair. And those are about my comments. And again, I would support the amendment. And I don't know if the representative asked for a roll call on this.
Yeah, I would request a roll call vote, please. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Lewick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to go back over and make sure we understand the background on the comment about the ethanol plant in Nebraska. I did a fairly lengthy look into what happened there. That plant, under its original permit, ceased operation and went into bankruptcy. A new owner bought it. Started it back up again, made some huge changes, completely in violation of his operating permit to begin with, grossly violated the rules for operation of that plant. It sometimes is portrayed as, oh my goodness, we don't have appropriate regulations. Had that plant operated in accordance with the regulations in Nebraska, they would not have been doing what they were doing. They got caught red-handed. So I just want to make sure we don't sort of gild a lily here on the issue. It's a critical issue, and it shows the importance of making sure that we have proper regulation. But to use that as the base justification for this element of the bill, I don't think holds water. It's interesting that the comments, it was a meeting, I wasn't there, but I was discussed this with folks that were ag commissioners and folks that are across the Midwest, and there was a huge mea culpa from the leadership and the Nebraska regulatory elements saying they had just simply this outfit got off the rails. They didn't catch it until it really got bad. So let's put that into context. Regulation is critically important, but again, I would agree that this is a solution trying to find a real problem. So I would definitely support the amendment.
Oh, Representative Hansen?
Just in closing, we had testimony in front of the committee that Minnesota seed was going to the Nebraska plant. After this planting season is over, it's not just an issue with farmers or people who are using it. It is an issue with the retailer and the manufacturer. What do they do with the unused treated seed? So after this planting season is over, if you send it back, where does it go? Because where some people were bringing their seed is no longer an option.
Representative Anderson?
Just one final comment, Madam Chair. Thank you for letting me come around again and speak. You know, one of the things that has happened with our meetings all being virtual and the written testimony submitted to the committee is sometimes not seen as well as if we had it in our packets and could look at it in paper form. But we received written testimony from the Minnesota Farm Bureau, Minnesota Corn Growers Association, and the Minnesota Soybean Growers that they had concerns about this and making a new label just for the state of Minnesota. And again, we're going to be an island here. And as Representative Burkle mentioned, just across the river from his area, different state, different regulations. And there is concern about Minnesota having to have its separate label addition to this. And again, because of the expense and cost of treated seed that in many cases is used over again. And I too support the amendment and would encourage a green vote, Madam Chair.
Any further discussion on the A6 amendment? Seeing no further discussion, the A6 amendment is before us and the roll call being requested. Mr. Smith, please take the roll.
Representative Sundin.
I'd say no.
Sundin, nay. Representative Vang.
No.
Vang, nay. Representative Anderson.
Anderson, aye.
Anderson, aye. Representative Burkle.
Burkle, aye.
Burkle, aye. Representative Eklund.
No.
Eklund, nay. Representative Hansen, R.
Hansen, R, no.
Hansen, R, nay. Representative Hansen, J.
Hansen, J, no.
Hansen, J, nay. Representative Cleavorn.
Cleavorn, no.
Cleavorn, nay. Representative Lippert.
Lippert, no.
Lippert, nay. Representative Lewitt.
Lewitt, aye.
Lewitt, aye. Representative Miller.
Miller, aye.
Miller, aye. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Thompson.
Thompson, no.
Thompson, nay. 8 nays, 5 ayes.
With 8 nays and 5 ayes, the motion does not prevail. The A6 amendment to the amendment is not adopted. Next amendment up is A8. Representative Hansen R, do you have a motion? And please proceed with the your explanation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would move the A8 amendment. The A8 amendment is in response to testimony we heard in the or a discussion that we had previously in this committee, looking for more accountability with millions of dollars that are being used to subsidize biofuels. We've had multiple discussions about including equity. So this is an accountability measure to measure not only equity, but I'm going to cite former Representative Tim Mahoney when he was on this committee, and he had served for years on the deed committees and trying to make sure that we are consistent in asking for accountability measures. What this does, it is amending existing law to put in more measurements for accountability, and also it ensures that public money will not be used for lobbying. Any of this ethanol money or biofuels money will not be used for any lobbying. It's a good amendment, and I'd ask for your support.
Any discussion? Chair Sundin, would you like to respond?
I'll be supporting this amendment, and I appreciate Chair Hansen's work on this. Thank you.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chair, trying to coordinate on my phone this stuff. That's why I always do it in front of a computer. I want to punctuate, this is the one area where Representative Hansen and I agree on things. I confess I did not see every word in this amendment, so there it may need some work down the road that I may not like, but the fundamental principle that we need to know that our money is going where it's intended to go and it's being used and it's actually having an effect is so important. And this is something that across all places in our government, we just are simply not doing. And so any effort to hold more accountability, especially when he said that this money cannot go towards lobbying, I'm very supportive of that. So I encourage people's support on this amendment.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A quick question for Representative Hansen. You mentioned former Representative Mahoney, but I didn't hear a follow-up. What is his connection to this? And could you just clarify that for me, please?
Representative Hansen R.
Madam Chair, thank you. And I apologize if the phone cut out. Representative Anderson, if you might remember, he would talk about with the deed grants, there's a grants management process where there are certain accountability measurements for deed, like how many jobs are being created, those type of things. So that I was channeling former Representative Mahoney wherever he is right now. He's probably on a beach somewhere, but trying to remember his discussions about that so we have some consistency. So if we're giving the money, you know, to help create jobs, we should account those. So some of those measurements are what are included instead of the very minimal requirements in existing law.
Representative Anderson.
Well, thank you. That answers my question.
Representative Lewick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I have a question for the amendment author here. Does this simply single out the biofuels element, biofuel producers, exclusively, or does this cover all of the various entities, co-ops, individuals, corporations that may be eligible and apply for a variety of agriculture grants? This appears to just single out one particular industry that I'm not sure if the amendment author is very fond of. I guess the question is why would you propose to target a single industry if there's a problem and not everybody that is eligible for some level of tax dollars coming through the Department of Agriculture?
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Lewick. And kind of two parts to this, and maybe Representative Miller remembers, but I have passed provisions as long as I have been here on groups to make sure that there are no lobbyists serving. For example, the Clean Water Council, I passed an amendment back in 2006 to make sure that the people who were serving on that would not be lobbyists. So this is consistent to things I have done before on lobbyist involvement in decision making and public money. This is I had this in front of me where we could do it. I think it should be we should really look across the board on where our public funds go. On the question of these specific industries, I'm citing statutes, and this may be I may be off a number here, but I think it's 41A.16, 41A.17, 41A.18, because those are the producer payments that receive the funds. So it is narrow to those that we are in this bill having a lot of money go to them, and a lot of money has gone to them. And we are earlier passed an amendment providing for retroactive payments. And so they have an existing requirement for reporting. And what I'm doing is adding conditions to that existing reporting requirement to existing law.
Representative Lewick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I don't support this amendment. It's clearly a specifically targeted at a particular element within the agriculture industry. Make no mistake, so you understand who is involved there. That's biofuels. That's bean producers, corn producers, So while it may sound nice to go after, quote, biofuel producers, the raw materials that they process comes right out of the fields of our agriculture industry. And I don't see anything here. Give an example. We're all very familiar, and they do a good job of lobbying for the University of Minnesota. I mean, we've got a whole group of entities that consume a huge amount of money for research, for all kinds of circumstances. And I don't see this being applied evenly across everybody. It's very clearly singling out, frankly, the corn and bean producers and that part of the industry. And I think it's inappropriate to take that approach. But obviously, the committee will rule on whether this amendment gets put on. Thank you.
Representative Hansen.
I think it's very important and a minimal ask to say when you're receiving millions of dollars that there's some accountability. We have talked throughout this session about trying to make sure that all Minnesotans are participating in our economy, that we're having equitable distribution of public resources. So those investments that we're making in private businesses, that we can see how it's working. So we're amending existing law with this amendment. I'd ask for your support.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Yeah, further looking at this on page 2, line 31, it says the commissioner must require of each producer who receives a payment. And then on the third page of the amendment, there are things like board member and executive compensation. And, you know, that to me is getting into some pretty detailed micromanagement here. And what are the consequences? Is somebody in St. Paul going to say, well, you're paying your board members $5 a day too much for a meeting, and we're going to try to stop your payment? You know, these things have to be reported, but what is the outcome of this reporting? Again, is somebody going to look at these and see, do they fall into the scale of reasonable payments? And again, I would agree with Representative Lewick that this is looking at one particular industry, and to me, it's just micromanaging, Madam Chair.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I like when in committee, you've heard me bark to the negative of this before, but I like when in committee we have the real conversations, and that's what we're having right here. I don't disagree with anything that Representative Anderson or Representative Lewick said, but I also agree with the premise of what Representative Hansen is saying. And if there was a way that we could do a broad sweeping legislation across all places that the state of Minnesota is distributing money out to people, I would support it. Is this one maybe micromanaging a little bit too much? There's a distinct possibility. Again, I apologize, and I'm full confession here. I'm on the phone in my car, so reading some of the lines that what Representative Anderson is referencing, I can't readily look it up. That's something that, in my opinion, could be adjusted specific to this bill. Down the, you know, as this moves through the process, we could kind of say this is a little bit too burdensome, this is a little bit better, this is a little bit worse. But I think what Representative Hansen is touching on is a fundamental problem that I've seen since I've been in the House of Representatives, is that the state is sending out certainly millions. I'm hunching it's moved up into the billions of dollars. And frankly, we don't have much follow-up on it. We have a little bit in some areas, but we don't. And so I do think this discussion has to happen. We can, if we have to argue about what's too restrictive or not restrictive enough or things like that, we can handle that. But we definitely need to start looking at this money that's going out to any when we're sending taxpayer dollars out, we are responsible for that money, and we need to have some level of understanding of if that money is effective, if there's a program that doesn't need to be used anymore, if there's duplicative efforts, which certainly happens in state government. I really would like to see more of this conversation, not less. And that's why I'm willing to support this amendment at this time to move this conversation along in this right direction. So thank you, Just to add a little bit of levity to this, thank you, Representative Hansen, for giving us something that you and I can agree with on a bill. I think this is a discussion that needs to happen throughout government. Thank you.
Representative Thompson.
Hey, thank you, Chair. Real quick, when we talk about, you know, the funds going out, and then I look at, you know, how much money is allocated to the BIPOC community, we hardly could ever get any money. And if the money is issued out to us, there's so much red tape surrounded by trying to give money to these BIPOC urban farmers, and even in ag or throughout this body. And if we do get some money, it is very micromanaged. I for the life of me, support this. Tim Mahoney's a mentor of mine, a friend, and he's a neighbor. And I know Tim Mahoney worked his butt off to make sure stuff like this is on the top of the menu. So I will be supporting this, but I also wanted to just make sure I highlight that we don't even get money at all, hardly any crumbs. We get sprinkles of money through agriculture. You talk about sending out millions of dollars and no oversight. Well, I can't support that. I will be supporting this bill. We missed this amendment.
Any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, the A8 amendment is before us. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
No.
Nay.
No.
The motion prevails, and the A8 amendment to the amendment is adopted. The next amendment is the A10, which is my amendment. I move the A10 amendment before the committee. This amendment works similarly like Representative Hansen's amendment prior. Basically, it adds simple language of reporting to some of the largest ag funds agreed in Agri to look at equity reporting and adds more transparency in how these funds are used. I also added a additional reporting on the federal funding that is expected to come to replace, if eligible, portions of this bill. And so it would be good for the committee to know how federal funding is used and how it affects, meets the goals of this bill. That's it's a simple amendment. It adds more transparency, just adds more reporting so we know where the funds are being spent and how federal funds are used. And we'll go from there. Any discussion to the A10 amendment? Representative Chair Sundin, would you like to respond?
Madam Chair, I really do appreciate your work on this. These are issues that have never been brought to the attention of Minnesotans previously. And as we move forward, I'm glad we have a fresh look at how we do things from time to time from newer members. So thank you very much for the amendment. I'll be supporting it.
Representative Cleveland.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for this amendment. I also appreciate it, and I think it'll give us an opportunity to have a fuller and more robust conversation about how these funds are used in the future. So I just want to thank you for bringing this forward and your commitment to making sure that all Minnesotans are represented at the table. Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion? See no further discussion. The A10 amendment is before us. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say nay. The motion prevails. The A10 amendment to the amendment is adopted. I don't see any further amendments to the DE2. So we will vote on the DE2 amendment as amended. This is not the final vote on the bill. All those in Okay, so I will move that we will vote on the DE2 amendment as amended. This is not the final vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Madam Chair, could I just quickly ask a question to make sure what we're voting on here?
Yes, Representative Anderson. We are voting on the DE2 amendment as amended to adopt it and put it before the committee.
So it's not final passage?
It's not final passage.
Okay.
So all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Nay.
The motion prevails. No. The motion prevails and the amendment as amended is adopted. So now the House File 1524, as amended, is now before us. Any further discussion? Chair Sundin, do you have any closing remarks?
Just a thank you to the committee for all their hard work on this. You know, we're not always going to agree on everything, but I'm heartened by the comments from Representative Miller that he's willing to work on things going forward and recognizes that it's a little bit of time before we get to May 17th. But I do appreciate all the expertise that has been brought forth from all the committee members and the participation. Everybody's got a little bit of ownership in this bill, and I hope we can move it forward and support it wholeheartedly at the end of the day. So I would renew my motion that House File 1524, as we amended today, be recommended to be referred to the Ways and Means Committee and that staff be directed to make any technical corrections as necessary. That's my motion.
Representative Anderson.
My apologies, Madam Chair. I was trying to get my hand raised just as you were calling for questions, and I apologize for not getting it up there quite in time. And Chair Sundin can have the final word yet after I make my couple of comments. I do want to thank the chair and the committee for the work on the bill. And one thing we didn't mention today was that the bill contains the money for biofuel infrastructure rollout. Wish it could have been more, but it's a good start. And there was a kind of a press conference yesterday at a petroleum or gas station here in the metro, and the Minnesota corn growers announced that they were committing $1 million to the public-private partnership to build out the infrastructure in the state for moving to E15. So I want to thank the corn growers for their very good move to add to the money in addition to the $4 million in this bill. And the Senate bill moving along contains $7 million. So we hope that in conference committee we can come up with a good number and get some of that money rolled out in partnership with the corn growers and also hopefully some federal money as well. One part of the bill we didn't talk about today, and that was in Representative Burkle's amendment, is the increase in the pesticide collection fee. Pretty good size increase. I think about a 60% increase from 0.55 up to 0.9. And I called back home this morning to my local co-op and got some prices to give you an example of what's happening to input costs this spring in agriculture. Talked about diesel fuel and then fertilizer. Diesel fuel kind of reached a low point last fall, right around Thanksgiving, Christmas time. And since that time, it's gone up about 60 cents a gallon, which is a sizable increase. And to put that in perspective, my tillage tractor, big tractor, holds 500 gallons in its fuel tank. So if I would go through that every day, put in 500 gallons, that's shows you the increase in input costs per day with just the increased price of diesel fuel. And fertilizer has really gone up as well. That usually follows the price of corn. And urea from the bottom last fall, again, that's up about 55%, up over $500 a ton for urea fertilizer. Potash is up about 35%. Phosphates about 50%. And some of the popular chemicals that farmers use, Roundup, for example, is up about 25%. And a lot of these chemicals are on what they call allocation, in that the supply is maybe not quite enough to meet the demand. So you have to get your name on some of these products, your name on them, get allocated to make sure you have enough to get your operation covered for the year. So input costs are going up, and I'm not in favor of the increase in the pesticide fee that is currently contained in this bill. But again, thanks to the chair, thanks to the committee, some good things in the bill. I wish we could have taken some more of the amendments, but that is not to be. But those, Madam Chair, are my comments on the bill.
Representative Cleaborn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I understand no producer wants their cost of goods to go up. I get that. And that people believe that fees are bad. But the other side of this equation that we never discuss are the write-offs that are also taken for the cost of goods. We never talk about the tax expenditure side of this equation. So yes, while you know, it is cash out, there are also deductions that are taken. And those costs are often shared by the taxpayers as well. So I just wanna make sure that if we're gonna talk about added costs, we also talk about the added deductions that are taken as well. The equation isn't just as simple as I pay this amount of money and there is no other support behind us in those equations. So that's my only comment. Thank you.
Representative Lewick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to follow on with the comment from Representative Cleaborn. You're exactly right. But at the end of that formula is the price of the food in our grocery stores. So when we start talking about concerns about input costs, ultimately those costs show up and hurt our lowest income, our disadvantaged the most, because they absolutely are at the end of the formula after the equal sign, and they equal higher costs at the grocery store. So let's make sure we're comprehensive when we start talking about math formulas relative to the cost of production of food. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Before we move to a vote, I would just like to say a couple of remarks. First, I want to thank Chair Sundin for your hard work on this, along with staff, Nancy Conley and Mr. Smith and nonpartisan staff, Mr. Sullivan, for all the, I'm pretty sure, late nights to put together this bill. You know, I also want to thank Chair Sundin for your thoughtfulness on including emerging farmers. Oftentimes when we think about farmers in America, we think of a white male in front of a barn on a tractor. And the reality is that's not what farmers look like today. The farmers also look like me as well. And, you know, of course, I would like to see more resources for emerging farmers. For far too long that they've been left out of the process. They have, you know, been left out of being having the kind of support they need to really thrive in the ag economy. And so, you know, I want to thank Chair Sundin for your continued support to make sure that is still in this bill, and we'll go from there. Representative Lewick, is your hand still up? Do you still have a comment? Okay. Chair Sundin, I should have given you the last remarks, but I see Representative Thompson, hand is still up. So Representative Thompson?
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you, Chair Sundin, for this particular bill, and thank you for the work you put in. That's it.
Chair Sundin, do you have closing remarks? If not, I can renew the motion.
Just to the bill, I thank everyone for their input, and I'll have a couple closing comments after we vote.
The Sundin motion is before us. Mr. Smith, please call the vote.
Chair Sundin.
Aye.
Sundin, aye. Vice Chair Vang.
Aye.
Vang, aye. Representative Anderson.
Anderson, aye.
Anderson, aye. Representative Burkle.
Burkle, no.
Burkle, nay. Representative Eklund.
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hansen, R.
Hansen, R, aye.
Hansen, R, aye. Representative Hansen, J.
Hansen, J, aye.
Hansen, J, aye. Representative Cleavorn.
Cleavorn, aye.
Cleavorn, aye. Representative Lippert.
Lippert, aye.
Lippert, aye. Representative Lewick.
Lewick, no.
Lewick, nay. Representative Miller.
Miller, no.
Miller, nay. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, no.
Nelson, nay. Representative Thompson.
Thompson, aye.
Thompson, aye. 9 ayes and 4 nays.
With 9 ayes and 4 nays, the motion prevail and the bill as amended is on its way to Ways and Means. I will return the gavel to Chair Sundin. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Chair Vang. This is our last regularly scheduled meeting this year. A special thanks to some of the people that have participated quite actively here. Representative Anderson is a trusted voice, and I'll call him the E.F. Hutton of the committee. When he speaks, people listen. So I thank everyone for their input. And the staff from all corners of the university and agencies, they've been helpful beyond belief. But the committee staff has always stood up and done their job admirably. Vice Chair Vang has taken the gavel and performed quite well. But it's the staff that really makes things happen around here. And Mr. Smith has always been in attendance and done his job diligently. But mostly Nancy Connolly has been the stone that I've leaned on and my touchstone for getting things done with the committee. And I simply cannot thank that person enough. So with that, we're adjourned.